wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to BQ&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. And dear friends, today we're going to be using the Bible to let the Bible speak about itself. Hope you're all doing great today. This is Pastor Ricardo, your Drive Time host, and also the pastor of Elizabeth Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Adelaide. We come to you now from our Faith FM studio in South Australia, and we're delighted that you're tuning in today. I pray that you'll be blessed as we explore the Word of God together during the next hour and a half. The theme for this week is Introduction to the Bible 101. So we've been talking about the Bible, what it is, the basics. So this week we answered questions like how was the Bible written, what is a biblical worldview, and why is it important, can I trust the Bible? So, dear friends, if you've missed any of these topics, which are so crucial for anyone wanting to understand the Bible, please visit faithfm.com.au and go to programs and podcasts, and then go to Drive Time BQ&A. That's the name of our show. Have a look at the different topics and see what the Bible has to say. Of course, you can text us if you needed any help. Our number is 0488-808-11. So today, the big question is, is the biblical worldview still relevant in the early third millennium? A lot of people say that the Bible is an ancient book. Why should it be relevant today? But we're going to talk about that now. And I pray that you'll be blessed by today's show. So this evening I have Camila joining me here in the studio. She is a paramedicine student, and she says that she loves to study the Bible too. And she will be helping us with our study today. Welcome, Camila. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good as well. Good to have you here. Camila, you said that you love studying the Bible, right?
Yes.
So I wonder, how are you reading your Bible this year? Do you have a special plan that you're following, any strategy?
So this year I have decided to focus on a book of the Bible that interests me. At the moment, it's John. I'm really enjoying it. It's very, very beautiful the way that he talks about Jesus. And then basically, I just go through verse by verse and I pick out the lessons that I feel can apply to me in my life. Absolutely anything.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I will highlight it and I'll make a note of it. And then it's just, it's so encouraging to see all of the lessons that can come out of even just two, three verses.
I see. So why did you pick John, for example, not Matthew or some of the other Gospels or books of the Bible?
That's a good question. It's because I heard from a preacher that he said that if you wanted to really start studying the Bible, a great place to start was the book of John, because John speaks about Jesus in such a loving, way and with such admiration. That it really makes you fall in love with Jesus really quick.
That's so important.
Absolutely, absolutely the truth.
And it's so much different following God's instructions out of love than out of fear.
Yeah, makes a massive, massive difference.
Yes. So, dear friends, there you go. If you are thinking of studying the Bible and this is the first time you're going to pick up a Bible, why don't you start with the Gospel of John, which is quite easy. It's like stories, very engaging.
Yeah.
And I bet that as Camila is sharing, you will fall in love with Jesus.
100%.
Very good. As it is usual and our custom, I have an article to share from The Guardian. This is from January 10th, 2026. And because we're talking about the Bible, you know, this article has to do with the Bible as well. And the title says, UK Bibles Sales Reach Record High.
Wow.
That sounds like good news.
Yeah.
You know. And it's interesting to see what's happening, why they think this is happening, and especially who are the ones, the demographic that is interested in the Bible these days, or more interested in the Bible these days. The article says, for Christians booksellers, any good news about Bible sales has been few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
But recent retail figures have shown a revival. Sales of the good book reached a record high in the UK in 2025, increasing by 134% since 2019, the highest since records began, according to industry research. The sudden uptick of interest has caused booksellers and scholars to ask some profound questions of their own, such as where these newly curious readers are coming from and whether faith or another more modern phenomenon, namely social media influencers, have called them to the Word of God.
Mm,
they're trying to find why are they coming with this new interest in the Bible. We've seen an increase in people coming to the Bible from scratch, says Odie Pasquier, retail sales director at Church House Bookshop near Westminster Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
They have no Christian background whatsoever. They have no grounding from their parents or from their school, whereas most people in prior generations would have. It's definitely younger people who are seeking some sort of spirituality.
Mm.
They want to understand the world and themselves better, she said.
Wow.
Interesting, right?
Young people.
Young people, they want to understand what's going on because the world is seems
changing.
To be upside down these days. Another person, Steve Barnett, the owner of St. Andrew's Bookshop in Buckinghamshire, has personally observed a new surprising clientele of young men entering his shop. Almost out of the blue, something's changed where people are turning to faith, he
mm-hmm.
says. So another person is surprised about this this phenomenon. The research was conducted by Christian publisher SPCK Group. It analyzed data from Nielsen BookScan, a service that compiles the sales data of books across the globe. The upward surge in Bible sales in the UK correlates with growth in church attendance in England and Wales in previous years.
Mm.
According to the report, or a report published in April 2025 by the Bible Society, the number of people attending church in England and Wales rose by 50% since 2018.
Wow, that's so exciting.
And I think that COVID-19 has something to do as well because, you know, when we, as human beings, we are in trouble, we seek God.
Yes.
And when everything is going well, we tend not to seek God.
Yes.
We shouldn't be like that, but this is
it's
how we are, unfortunately. Leading the charge is young people. Only 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they attended church monthly in back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2024, that number rose to 16%.
Wow.
From 4% to 16%.
Yeah.
The largest increase of any age demographic. I've got another person here that has a testimony here. Sam Richardson, the CEO of the publisher SPCK Group, notes that these findings are indicative of a changing tide in which the appeal of Christianity has emerged as a countercultural force, particularly for younger generations in the UK who have grown up in more secular family and social environments.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of what they call in the U.S. Christian nationalism, where people are trying to go back to the Bible, and also they are encouraging or even going to the extreme of forcing somehow people to go back to the Bible, which is something that I don't think should be done that way, because God doesn't force anyone. God convinces, but the biblical principles are good.
Yes.
And we see that young people, younger generations are realizing that.
Yeah, that's the most exciting part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as a young person myself, it's so encouraging to hear that more young people are wanting to know about Jesus, because it's more people that I can share with, and then more people that are like me who are also looking for the same things that I am. It's such a nice thought.
And young people are thinkers as well. They like to ask
questions. Especially now.
And they are finding out that that whole, you know, theory of evolution or that God doesn't exist, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
And it's interesting what the article says. The same person, Sam Richardson, the CEO of the publisher SPCK Group, he said the rebellious thing to do was to be an atheist and follow people like Richard Dawkins and the new atheism, which used to be very popular. Now, I think things are reversed. For the next generation, it's more interesting to be a Christian.
Yes.
They're open to exploring that rather than being automatically closed against it, said Richardson. So as we face worldwide political and social change, including the after effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, global wars, the rise of AI, and a growing mental health crisis, individuals are re-engaging with questions of meaning and spirituality. The trend is also echoed in the U.S., where Bible sales reached a 21-year high in 2025.
Wow.
Very, very interesting.
Yes.
Young people are seeking for truth.
Yeah, because I think that as a young person as well, and talking to other young people, believing in theories such as evolution, I almost think that they are designed to make you feel lonely and unwanted and undesired and that you really have no purpose. You just happen to be here. And that is the worst feeling that you can have as a young person nowadays with mental health, feeling that you have no purpose, you just happen to be here because of life. It's one of the worst things that you could possibly think. It leads to, it leads to a lot of mental health problems, I believe.
Yes, because even if you believe in theistic evolution, they believe that God intervened, he created life, but then he left it.
It's almost worse.
To evolve by itself. It's like, like you said, it's even worse because that gives you the idea that, yes, you have a God, a creator, but he doesn't care about you.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to have a relationship with you. He just left you to to happen by chance.
Yeah.
That's not the type of God I want to have a relationship with.
No, not at all.
But as you read the Bible, I'm sure you've noticed, especially in the Gospel of John, you see that we have a God who is desperately trying to have a personal relationship with us.
Yes, something that I've noticed is that Jesus, especially in the book of John, goes out of his way to make connections with specific people who needed him.
That's true. Are you thinking of the woman of...
Yes, the Samaritan woman. Yes. I just read that this week, and I thought it was incredible that the Bible says that he had to go through Samaria. But the thing is that he didn't have to. But the Bible says it. Jesus was on a mission find this woman, one woman on the planet.
Just one.
He had to go find her because he knew that she needed him.
It's interesting because back in those days, women were not as important.
Yes.
That's the reality, culturally speaking. And no Jew would in their right mind, would go through Samaria.
Yes.
They would go around it.
Mm-hmm.
No Jew had to go through Samaria.
Definitely.
So the fact that Jesus had to go through Samaria to encounter a woman.
Yes.
That tells us a lot about himself and how he cares for us.
Yeah, it showed me actually. This is a note that I made in my Bible that Jesus oftentimes goes against social norms.
He does.
The things that they tell you nowadays, oh, it's normal, it's what everybody does. Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't. He goes out of his way to make sure that you know he loves you.
That's very true. Now, it's interesting, Camila, the news, this research is telling us that young people are seeking for truth.
Yes.
As a young Christian, what is this telling you? What do you feel that God is actually telling you to do something about this?
Definitely, because I think, look, if there are any young people listening, you are the ones that can influence other young people the most. And I know that a lot of the preachers and the speakers that we hear are older, and that's good. They have so much wisdom. But if you know Jesus and if you know that he loves you and that you love him, you have to share that with another young person, because that is the most powerful way to share Jesus. It's by doing it yourself.
That's so true. We can all give testimonies with our lives, and we can be an example no matter what age we have. Mm-hmm. But as you said, like when an older person is trying to give advice, young people may say, well, you say that because you're old.
Yeah, they think that you might understand
like
them.
You don't understand me there. That's the most common phrase. But when young people see another young people doing good things or following the biblical principles, mm-hmm. immediately they think, if she can do it, I can do it. If he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, if she can live that life, or if he can live that life, then that means that it's possible for me to live that as well.
Amazing. And today we're going to talk about the Bible and why is it relevant for our generation these days. Let's come to some music first, and we're going to hear Sandra Enterman, and the song is called So Many Books. Friends, there's so many books out there, but none of them is like the Bible. That was Sandra Enterman, So Many Books. And our giveaway for this week is the book, The Clear Word, Psalms and Proverbs by Jack Blanco. This is our New Year's gift for you, dear listeners. And let me talk to you about this. It's not a translation of the Bible, but it's a paraphrase from the popular Clear Word paraphrase that increases understanding and enhances devotion time. That's the purpose and intention of this giveaway. So, and this specific one is from two wonderful books of the Bible, the Psalms and the Proverbs. These two selections from the Bible still offer inspiration, praise, and wisdom for today's spiritual life. And this edition has been made available with pricing that makes sharing scripture more affordable. But for you, it's free. All you need to do is send us a code that I'll share with you very shortly. It is also compact and light to enable you to carry scripture with you wherever you go. So there you go, dear friends, the Clear Word Psalms and Proverbs by Jack Blanco. If you want a free copy of this giveaway, all you need to do is send us or text us the code SA401. SA stands for South Australia, 401. Please, no spaces in between. It's just SA401. And our number is 04-888-808-11. I would encourage you to save that number on your phones if you haven't done that already. Again, the code is SA401. And our number is 04-888-808-11.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back, dear friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A right across Australia with Pastor Ricardo. And my co-host today is Camila. She's a paramedicine student and she's joining us this evening. And the theme for this week is Introduction to the Bible 101. Now, the big question, as we shared earlier for today, is the biblical worldview still relevant in the early third millennium? Now, the Bible is a very ancient book, as you know. Do you find, Camila, the Bible still relevant and useful for you today?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it's because the Bible makes sure that it addresses so many points that I am experiencing right now in my life.
That's really great.
And it doesn't only, it gives incredible advice. But not only that, it brings peace and it brings comfort when things go wrong. And we will talk so much more about that during this session, but definitely so, so relevant.
So it's a unique book.
Oh, yes.
Not like any other. The Bible is different than every other book.
Yeah.
Because, look, you can read other books like geography books or medicine books about medicine and any other topic. It will increase your knowledge, but you will still be the same person with the same character.
Yes.
The Bible is the only book that can change your character. It changes you as a person. It's a special book. And even the way that it was written is so amazing because it was not written by one person.
It's a miracle in itself.
It is a miracle in itself, as you said. You may remember, how long did it take for the Bible to be written? It's almost 1,600 years. So the Bible is 66 books together. It's not one book, but it's 66 books together and written by more than 40 writers. Now, the interesting thing is that these 40 writers, most of them never met each other.
Yes.
They lived in different ages. They spoke different languages. They were from different continents in the world. They never met. They had different backgrounds. Yet if you read the Bible, it seems to be one book.
They are in harmony with each other.
And you wonder, when is it that these 40 writers had a meeting?
Yeah, got together.
You know, and said, you know, Moses, you're going to start writing about the perfect world and how sin entered and everything got, you know, marred. And then you stop in Deuteronomy and maybe Job, and then Joshua comes and so forth. And then, you know, all the writers in between.
Yeah.
And then you get to John writing the last book about the restored world with all perfection once again. It's like, when did they meet?
End. Yeah. And no contradictions.
And no contradictions.
Yeah.
It's just as if, you know, they would have said to one another, you write up until this point.
Yeah.
Then I will continue writing.
And that they were that all writers were in 100% agreeance with each other.
That's right.
In all thought. That is incredible.
So they say that the Bible is the only book where its author is present every time you read it.
That's so true. Yes.
Because there's only one author.
Yeah.
God. And many writers. So how this works is interesting. The Bible says that God inspired, the Bible was inspired. The words were inspired. So God inspired the thoughts in the minds of the prophets. And then they wrote the Bible using their own words. That's why you have different styles, different books of the Bible. But the thoughts come from God.
Yes.
From the Holy Spirit. And like we mentioned, it took such a long time to be written. So when Moses started writing Genesis, until the time that John finished writing Revelation, almost 1,600 years passed.
Yeah, and I think especially nowadays with some of the things that we know that a lot of the time when something is known to be really, really good, sometimes bad people try to get rid of it so that you don't know about it.
And they did.
How many times have people tried to destroy the Bible?
To ban it, to burn it.
Yeah. More than any other book in the world.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Yet is the, I think it's the only book that has survived so many attempts to, to be destroyed.
Yeah.
The Bible. And you can see God's protection over His Word.
Yes.
Unlike, other books. You know, there's always pieces of information that are missing.
Yeah,
with the Bible, somehow, miraculously, it's been preserved.
The Bible has divine protection.
That's very good. So there are interesting things about the Bible. For example, Jesus considered the Bible very highly.
Yes.
We're told in Matthew chapter 4, for example, that the devil tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. And three times he attempted to tempt him, or he tempted him. And every time Jesus answered, "It is written."
Yes.
"It is written." So
yes.
What does that tell you about how Jesus considered the Bible?
Yeah, it shows me that Jesus was such a wise man. Jesus is wise. He could have tried to argue with the devil in logical ways.
Yes.
He could have done it like that himself, but he felt that it was sufficient to say, "It is written," and that was it.
He pointed him to the Bible.
Yes.
And that tells me as well that Jesus read his Bible.
Oh, yes.
He knew it well.
Yeah, to be able to come up with an "it is written" statement.
Yes.
Right off the bat.
Yes.
More than once. You have to know.
And here's our example. We should spend time in the Word of God.
Definitely.
On another occasion, he was praying in front of his disciples, praying to his Father in John 17:17. And he said there, "Father, your word is truth."
Yes.
So not only did Jesus think highly of the Scriptures, but he said that they are truth.
Yeah, and I find it interesting that Jesus does this a lot. He doesn't say, "Your word has truth."
That's right.
He doesn't say that I have the way, the truth, and the life. He says that the word is truth.
Wow.
Truth, if you want to find truth, its origin is in the Bible. That's where it comes from.
Full of it.
Yeah.
Because it is truth. Very interesting point. And then in John 5:39, Jesus himself said about the Scriptures that they are the ones who testify of me.
Yes.
So when we read the Bible, we encounter a person, the person of Jesus. It's not just a bunch of paragraphs or books that we read. We are actually getting to know someone.
Yeah.
"They testify of me," said Jesus.
Definitely. His character, the way that he thinks about us, all of that. It's just,
so that's how we get to know him, by reading the
Bible.
Definitely. The psalmist also, in Psalm 119:105, he said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So always, we should always consider the Bible when making decisions.
For sure, yeah.
And it's easy to get confused these days with so many options and so many voices speaking to us through social media and advertisings, and you know, not what to do, what to choose,
or
go to the Bible.
Yeah, because nowadays, the things that you are taught, I'll try and match this with the verse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that we are taught now, they confuse us about the next step that we have to take, but they also confuse us about what our future looks like.
Yes.
And this verse says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That is covering both the very next step that you have to take and also the future ahead of you. If you shine a flashlight towards your feet, it will show you the very next steps that you need to take. Mm-hmm. So the Bible will guide you through your day to day.
Wow.
But if you shine that flashlight directly in front of you, you will be able to see the path and possibly very far ahead in the path. So the Bible not only shows you how to live your day to day, but it gives you hope for a bright future.
Very, very interesting point, Camila. When you use a flashlight or a lamp to walk, yeah, as you said, it shows you where to take the next steps.
Yes.
Interesting that you say that, because the lamp won't show you what where to take your next few steps unless you take the first ones.
Definitely, yeah.
So it's a journey of faith.
Definitely, yeah.
As you take those steps of faith, God will show you the next steps.
Yes, and then if you ever doubt that the next step, you think, "Oh, but that doesn't seem right to me." Mm-hmm. Shine the flashlight a little bit further and you'll be able to see that God has hope for you.
Amazing thought. I really didn't see it that way before about that second part that you're mentioning here. Also, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, this is where God claims something about himself. He says, basically, there is no one like me. And then he gives a reason why. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." And then verse 10 tells us the reason why. He says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure."
Can it be any clearer?
So God says, there's no one like me, because no one knows the future like I do.
Yeah, and he's not bluffing there.
He is not bluffing. You're right. There's a few examples that we can share with you, dear listeners. For example, Genesis 15, 13 to 16 talks about the 400 years of slavery for the descendants of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Many years before that happened,
yes,
God already knew exactly how many years they were going to be in Egypt.
Yeah, and another interesting point is that the Bible in Ezekiel chapter 29, verses 14, 15, then chapter 30, verses 12 and 13, it talks about the fact that once Egypt fell, it would never again have a commanding position among the nations. And isn't that true?
It is true. It still exists.
Yes.
But it has
it never returned the high to the influence. Power that it had before.
That's so true. It stands true. Then Jeremiah 29, for example, talks about the 70 years of exile for the Israelites in Babylon.
Yes.
Before it happened, obviously. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet raised by God to warn the Israelites that if you don't turn to God, you're going to end up as exiles in Babylon.
Yeah.
But they didn't listen.
Definitely.
And God knew exactly how many years they were going to be there.
Yeah, and another really interesting one. This is probably one of my favorites because it's so easily verifiable by history. Mm-hmm. You can Google search this.
Oh, true.
That Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7, and chapter 8 all talk about, they prophesy four world empires that were to arise, one of them being Babylon itself, then Medo-Persia, then Greece, and then Rome. And it's so impressive that it mentions them in order as well, that they were to come. And exactly like that, they came.
Yeah. We can't even foretell what's going to happen tomorrow.
No.
And God is foretelling things that happened years and years, hundreds of years after.
Yes.
That prophecy of Daniel chapter 2 tells in advance what was going to happen more than 2,500 years before they...
Yeah, and with so many factors in between.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Details. Another one that amazes me is found in Isaiah 45, verses 1 to 3, where Cyrus is mentioned to be the one who would conquer Babylon and eventually deliver God's people from there to, so that they could go back to Jerusalem.
Yes.
And what amazes me is that Cyrus is mentioned by name 150 years before he was born.
Yes.
And God says, Cyrus, I'll raise him. He will be my anointed. He will deliver my people. So Cyrus, in this case, is like a symbol of Jesus and how he will deliver his people at the end. But how did God know?
Yeah. He has the whole future. Mm-hmm. He knows it. He's in its hands.
Yes.
Yeah. And talking about Babylon, another really interesting one is that in Isaiah 13, verses 19 and 20, and in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 37, it talks about how Babylon will never be rebuilt and it will never be inhabited again.
It's very true. If you go to Babylon, what do you find now?
Just ruins.
Just ruins. Not inhabited.
No.
Saddam Hussein wanted to rebuild it. He could not.
Yes. And that is because God said that it wouldn't
God
happen.
God said, yes, he's always right. Also, Jesus said in Luke 21 that there will be calamities and fear toward the end of the time.
Yeah.
Which is happening
That's
now.
That's what
There's
we
so
see
much
now.
Uncertainty about things that are going to happen. Rumors of wars.
Yes.
Pestilences.
So much.
We see these things happening.
Yeah. Well, the Bible doesn't just talk to us about what's going to happen in the future, because that in itself is so interesting.
Yes.
But it's not only that. It also talks about things that can benefit us. But the interesting thing is that it talks about it way before it was actually discovered.
Mm.
So I would like to share with you and with the listeners some medical and scientific statements that the Bible has made that were proven to be true long, long after the Bible said so.
Mm-hmm.
The first of which is that when the Israelites were going through the desert on their way to the Promised Land, there were a number of things that God told them that they should do.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them was keeping people with leprosy separate to others.
Mm.
Now think of the concept of contagious diseases.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that they really understood back then, but God said, hey, if someone has leprosy, keep them away.
Isolated from the rest.
Yes, and they listened to that. And it was not only until the plagues of the Middle Ages that the doctors learned to apply this principle, which was deemed highly effective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we saw that with COVID very much, like infectious diseases.
Hundreds and thousands of years after.
Yeah. Yeah, and only then did they find out that it was useful. That was found in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see it all throughout the New Testament as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is that until late in the 19th century, doctors would often work on a corpse and then straight after on a living patient without washing their hands in between.
Mm.
And nowadays we're like, how could you possibly do that?
Yes.
Because that brought so much bacteria and it caused so many deaths. But
they didn't know why that was happening.
No, they didn't understand that concept of, again, bacteria and contagious diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But God, again, in the Old Testament, stated that if somebody touched a dead body, they were ceremonially unclean. And it even says that they should wash and cleanse with water. So those religious practices had massive health benefits on those people.
Mm.
And you can find that in Numbers chapter 19, verse 11 and verse 19.
So that's what they should have done at the hospitals during the Middle Ages.
Yes, and we saw that a lot with childbirth. There were in the Middle Ages so many women and children would die during childbirth because the doctors didn't wash their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole concept of hygiene, God had it very clear from the very beginning. Another one that's so interesting is that God asked for the male children to be circumcised on the eighth day of life. Very specific. And you think, why is he doing that? You can find that in Leviticus 12, verses 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we know now that in newborn babies, their blood's ability to clot is understood to reach normal levels after the first week.
Yes.
So that tells us that by day eight, they would be safe to be circumcised. And in Bible times, before advanced medical treatments were available, like waiting over a week would have been so beneficial. Waiting for the blood to be able to clot properly.
Only the Creator God would have known.
Definitely.
Exactly when.
Yes, because he made it to be that way.
Yes.
And then I have another point here. Mm-hmm. This one I find particularly interesting.
Okay.
Because I did an assessment on it one time and I focused on this topic. So when I read it, I was like, what? Okay. So it says that medical researchers and scientists say that positive emotions such as joy, hope, and gratitude, and a willingness to forgive have some beneficial effects on health. And the Bible says in Proverbs 17, verses 22, that a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit saps one's strength.
That is so true.
This concept here is actually called the biopsychosocial model, and it was conceptualized by George Engel in 1977.
Wow.
And what this concept states that a person's medical condition is not... Mm-hmm. is not influenced only by their biological factors, but also highly by their psychological and their social factors.
Amazing.
And I did an assessment on it, and it's like the connection to problems like IBDs or Crohn's disease, the connection with the psychological and gut health especially, so strong.
So it's not good to hold grudges and
not at all.
Be resentful.
And being positive. Being positive and
being
optimistic.
Positive.
Can really increase conditions like that.
And the Bible knew it. That's the amazing part.
A joyful heart is good medicine.
Yes, there's some scientific discoveries that were mentioned in the Bible before they were discovered.
Yes.
Which are amazing. You all know that up until 1492, scientists used to believe that the earth was flat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they believed. And even they thought that they could not sail away from the shore too far because, they thought that if you reached the edge of the flat world, you would fall into a deep precipice where monsters were waiting for you.
Yeah,
you know,
if you see the artworks about that, it's
yes,
very
it's fascinating.
Impressive.
So it's interesting to see, how they felt about this. But then we know history tells us that Christopher Columbus, he wanted to travel. He initially wanted to go to India, and then he ended up in the Americas.
Yes.
By mistake. So that's when they discovered that, the earth is actually round, right? In 1492. But interestingly, some 2200 years before it was discovered, the Bible already said in Isaiah 40, verse 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth.
Wow.
Already knew it. More than 2,000 years before it was discovered that the earth is not flat.
Yep.
How can the Bible possibly know that?
Because of its creator.
Because of its creator. Its author is the creator of the world. Also, interestingly, in the Greek mythology, Atlas was given the task of holding up the heavens as a punishment from God Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, some pictured him as holding up the earth on his shoulders. So basically, people believed that Atlas was carrying the world on his shoulders.
Yes.
Also, in the Hindu, Chinese, and also the Native American mythology, a giant turtle carried the world around the unknown space. So we're basically carried by a turtle, giant one, interestingly. Now, again, the Bible knew the truth all the time. About 1,400 years before Christ, the Bible said, this is in Job 26:7, he stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing.
Yes.
No atlas, no turtles. The Bible says on nothing.
And we know now that's how we see it.
It is right.
On nothing.
But because the creator of the universe is the author of the Bible contains this information that none other had. No scientists had this information. There's many others, but let me share one more maybe. This one is about Evangelista Torricelli. He invented the first mercury barometer that's known as Torricelli's tube. He invented that in 1644.
Mm-hmm.
And the barometer is used to measure atmospheric pressure or the weight of air, mm-hmm. in other words. Because basically before 1644, nobody knew that the air had weight.
Yeah.
So why would they invent a barometer if they didn't know? But once they discovered that, oh, we can measure that,
mm-hmm.
they started doing that. But again, interestingly, more than 3,000 years before it was discovered, the Bible said in Job 28, 24 and 25, "For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind."
Wow.
So the Bible knew it.
Yeah, it's almost in all of these verses, it's almost like God words it specifically so that when we find it, it sounds like, whoa, that's amazing. That's exactly what we were looking for.
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't leave room for doubt.
It's almost like God saying to us, you know, I'm always right.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. You better listen to me.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to emphasize two things in this verse. All scripture.
Yes.
Everything, all scripture was given by God.
Yes.
Not just parts of it. And it was given by inspiration of God.
Mm-hmm.
That means that the Bible contains God's thoughts expressed in human words, of course.
Yeah, definitely. That's the most amazing thing.
Yeah. That's why it's worth reading it.
Yeah. So you might be wondering, though, that, okay, the Bible, because of this, seems pretty accurate. It seems accurate. It seems like it's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
But is it really relevant to me today? Like, is it practical to me in my modern life?
That's the question.
Yeah. Mm. And I think that to answer this question, you need to ask yourself, okay, what are the worst problems in the world right now?
Turn on the TV and you'll find out.
We'll see all of them. Like, which ones are the most terrifying? And not just in the world, but in your life.
Mm.
What are the most scary problems in your life? And then go to the Bible, look at what it teaches, and then ask yourself, if people lived by these values, would the world be a better place?
Right.
Or if I follow these values, would my life be a better place?
Mm-hmm.
So, looking at some of these, I wanted to share with you guys. The Bible talks about peace.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. And as a young person, keeping your peace, maintaining your peace is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And in Matthew 5, verse 9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God."
Mm-hmm.
And in Romans 12, verses 18, it says, "If possible, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men."
Mm.
And I think for any of you who are listening, who are going through school, specifically high school, and then university as well, and with your friends, drama happens.
Mm.
Happens to everyone. But something that can help you when you're having rough edges with your friends or with people at school is that as much as it depends on you, as much as it's possible for you to control, be at peace with people.
That's a good point.
Don't spread gossip, and if you have to apologize for anything, do it, because as much as it depends on you, keep the peace. And I think that this could help so many young people nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lesson from the Bible.
I agree.
Another one, kind of rolling off this same topic, is about mercy and forgiveness. Matthew 5, verses 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy."
Mm.
And Colossians 3, verses 13 says, "Continue putting up with one another and forgiving one another freely. Even if anyone has a cause for complaint against another, just as God freely forgave you, you must also do the same." Something that hurts friendships for young people the most is holding grudges. Nobody is perfect. You will never have a perfect friend because you will never find a perfect person. And when somebody makes a mistake, if they honestly from their heart come back to you and they want to make things right with you, don't hold a grudge. That is the best thing that you can do as a young person. Forgive them. If you think that they are not great for your life, that's okay, but don't hold a grudge. Don't hold a grudge.
Because you're hurting yourself.
You are. Mm. The other person's not being hurt by your grudge, just you.
That's true.
And I speak from personal experience. So
that's true.
Forgive people. Forgive people and you will find peace in your heart and peace in your life.
And also I can tell you from personal experience as well that one reason that helps us forgive others is to remember how God forgave us
The first place. Massively, because if you think of the things that you have done to God's heart and the fact that he has been able to forgive you and still love you and chase you, you have no reason not to forgive.
Yeah, it makes other people's offenses against me very little.
Yes.
In comparison.
And because Jesus did it, you know that you can do it too.
That's right. Also, racism is a problem.
Yes.
And God is very specific about this topic. He says in Acts 17:26 that, God made out of one man every nation of men to dwell on the entire surface of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So he is all about unity.
Yeah.
We can be different, but we should be living in unity. And also Acts 10:34-35 says that God is not partial, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.
Yes.
He accepts us all. He doesn't make a difference between races.
And you can see that through the Gospels, the way that Jesus treats people. It's always the Samaritan woman. He could have been racist.
That's right.
But he was not.
So you can rest assured, listener, that God, no matter who you are, he accepts you.
And he loves you.
He loves you and he wants to change you to be the best person that you can be.
Yes.
Also, these days, people do not respect or protect our earth, the planet.
Yeah.
You know, we're acting negligently and we see the results, pollution and diseases and problems
definitely.
With resources. We don't have enough. Again, God is very specific. He, from the beginning, he commanded us to take care of the earth. It says in Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Or in other words, to cultivate it and to take care of it. And that's the first book of the Bible. Now, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, continues with the same tenor. It says in Revelation 11:18, God will destroy those who destroy the earth.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that.
No, because just like we are his creation, the whole earth is his creation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bible also talks about greed and immorality. And I, again, like a young person, feel that other young people out there, you might be struggling with these, with these points as well. Luke 12:15 says, guard against every sort of greed, because even when a person has an abundance, his life does not result from the things he possesses.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what we have.
No, it doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world. It doesn't matter if you want to be rich or if you want to have the sharpest car. That's not what matters the most. What matters the most is what is inside of you. Mm-hmm. And then Ephesians 5:3 says, let sexual immorality and every sort of uncleanliness or greediness not even be mentioned among you, just as it is proper for holy people.
Mm.
And I think that as a young person, that topic of immorality and sexual immorality, and it can be something that you hear so often as though it were nothing. People engaging in those activities or being really disrespectful with the way that they speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from that because it will only do you harm.
Because even when you're single, if you cultivate these immoral habits, when you get married, you're going to carry that into your marriage and you're going to end up destroying or affecting very seriously your marriage relationship.
Yeah, intimacy is something that is so sacred and it is so holy and it should be protected.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think for young people is really important. Also, honesty and hard work. Now, you're a young person, you're at school or you're in university or you've just got your first job. Hard work is really important and being honest with your work. It says in Hebrews 13:18, we wish to conduct ourselves honestly in all things. And then Ephesians 4:28 says, let the one who steals, steal no more. Rather, let him do hard work.
These are so many you know, such good pieces of advice. If everybody would be doing the same, imagine the type of world we would be living
They're
in.
They're so relevant.
Yes. Today, for example, we don't care about others as long as we are fine.
Yeah.
But the Bible stresses the importance of helping those who are in need. God is very specific. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Speak consolingly to those who are depressed. Support the weak. Be patient toward all." And in James 1:27, God says, "Look after orphans and widows in their tribulation."
Mm-hmm.
He cares about those who are in need.
Yeah, and if you think about the people that we label as good people in mm-hmm. history, people like Gandhi, or what was that, Mother Teresa, people that we think are good, it's because they followed principles that are actually biblical.
Biblical principles, that's right.
Yeah.
What a difference it makes. So really, biblical principles are more relevant and timely than ever.
Yeah.
We need them desperately. So you may be wondering, what can these Bible teachings do for me right now in my situation? And that's a fair question. And I believe that all of us, then, that we need to go to the Bible personally. But the reason why we find these answers in the Bible is because God's thoughts are contained in the Bible. And I wonder if, Camila, you could read for us 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
Yeah, definitely. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe."
Wow. So the Bible contains God's thoughts, God's words, not the words of man.
His thoughts for you.
His thoughts for you. Very good.
Definitely. So it says, Jesus once said that wisdom is vindicated by its results in Matthew 11, verses 19. And this means that you can see if something that someone said was wise when you look at its results, when you follow it. So when we look at the Word, when we look at the Bible, look at its teachings, and then look at what happens when you apply its teachings, and we'll see if those results vindicate its wisdom.
Very useful book indeed.
Yeah, so we will consider three key ways that the Bible can prove practical in your life. The Bible can teach us to, number one, avoid problems where possible. Number two, resolve difficulties when they arise. And number three, cope successfully with situations you cannot change.
Wow, that sounds really interesting, Camila. Let's talk about that after the break. Let's enjoy a song by Keith Lancaster and the a cappella company, Ancient Words.
Holy words all preserved. We have come.
ancient words, but so relevant today. That was Keith Lancaster and the A Cappella Company. What a book, the Bible. So relevant, so powerful. We're saving the best and strongest argument for last. We're going to share that with you, an argument that shows why the Bible is so relevant today. Now, let me advertise the giveaway for this week, which is the book, The Clear Word, Psalms and Proverbs by Jack Blanco. This is a New Year's gift, it comes from the popular Clear Word paraphrase that increases understanding and enhances devotion time with these two wonderful books from the Bible, the Psalms and the Proverbs. These two selections from the Bible still offer inspiration, praise, and wisdom for today's spiritual lives. There's so many great pieces of advice in the Proverbs and so much hope and encouragement in the Psalms. Two great books for sure. This edition has made available to you at no cost. But even if you want to get more, it's a very low cost, and it makes sharing scripture more affordable. Plus, it is also compact and light to enable you to carry scripture with you wherever you go. Bear in mind, this is not a Bible translation, this is a paraphrase, but it helps you to reflect upon the Word of God, especially the Psalms and Proverbs in this case. So, dear friends, if you would like a free copy of this book, simply text us the code SA401 to our number 0488 808 11. I'll repeat the code once again. Is SA for South Australia 401, no spaces in between, SA401, and our number is 0488 808 11, which I encourage you to save on your phones, because you can text us even after we finish every show and we can get back to you with any questions that you may have. So there you go. Again, the code is SA401 and our number is 0488 808 11.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back, dear friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is Pastor Ricardo, your host for today, and I am joined by Camila as my co-host here in the Faith FM studio. She's a student of paramedicine and also enjoys studying her Bible. And this week we are exploring the theme Introduction to the Bible 101. And today's big question, which we've been dealing with, and I've been really enjoying this topic, is the biblical worldview still relevant in the early third millennium? And we've discovered that, yes, it is so relevant.
Massively.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and we will look really specifically into that right now. Before the break, we said that we can consider now three key ways in which the Bible can prove practical in your life. And they are that, one, it can help you avoid problems where possible. Two, it can help you resolve difficulties when they arise. And number three, it can help you cope successfully with situations that you cannot change. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right into the first one. In 2 Timothy verses Chapter 3, verse 16, it says that the Bible, the Word, is inspired and beneficial for teaching, for revoking, for setting things straight. So, let's see how Bible wisdom has helped some people in their hardest problems before they became entrapped.
Mm-hmm.
So, a big problem that we might all go through, but specifically young people, again, from my perspective, is alcohol.
Mm.
All drunkards, all people that are addicted to alcohol started off as casual drinkers.
Mm.
People that said, oh, I just have one once in a while with my mates, you know, but if I don't want to, I won't.
Mm.
And then you realize that you can't stop.
Yes.
And you think, how is this possible? Like, how could I have gotten to this stage? But the Bible, in Proverbs 23, verses 31 to 33, says, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things.
That's so true.
So true. But it's so interesting how it says, do not look.
Don't even look at
it. Don't even look at it.
Yeah.
Because the Bible, God knows that us as human beings, when we place one foot into that temptation placed by the devil, we will fall right in.
Why would we put ourselves in dangerous situations?
And I tell you, for the young people that are listening, because you love Jesus doesn't mean that your friends might think the same thing as you. Your friends might tell you sometimes that, oh, how could you possibly have fun if you're not going to have a drink? And you need to know that God has your happiness in mind. If God knew that you could have more fun and be more happy if you drank, he probably would have designed it that way.
Yes.
But because God knows that this will harm you and that you actually won't have more fun and that in the long run you'll be so much, you will have so much pain because of this habit that started now with you and your friends, he's made it very clear to you that you should not.
You should not. And if your friends are really good friends, they will respect your decisions as well.
Of course. Yeah,
you
and again,
still celebrate with them.
Exactly. I can say that from personal experience. When I have found good friends in my life and I have told them, no, you know, I've decided not to take that step in my life. I've decided not to do that. They say, that's great and that's fine. And they respect that. So, yeah, have a look at that as well. It might help you. Imagine if everybody followed the Bible in this case when it comes to alcohol. Millions of alcoholics would become sober and they'd become respectable citizens. You know how many people cause car accidents, kill people in car accidents, and die themselves in car accidents because they're drunk?
Yes.
So many people. And that's just more evidence that there is no way that this can be something that's good for you. And also, millions of families would be reunited. How many families have been broken because of alcoholism? How many women have been hurt in relationships? How many children have been hurt in families because of alcoholism?
People lose their jobs.
Yeah, people lose
their
lives.
Their marriages.
Yeah, and so many broken homes would be mended as well. And yeah, again, thousands of lives would be saved by sober driving.
For sure.
Yeah, and it would just, if more people followed these principles.
Because you can drive
huge
safely. But someone else is negligent and ends up killing you.
Yeah, exactly. And we would have governments and leaders that possibly could be more sober-minded. We'd also have role models that are more sober-minded that will be able to give you actually good influences and advice. And also, you could save so much money yourself, and so much more money could go into a lot more useful things.
That's true.
Yeah. Another lesson that the Bible teaches us that is massively impactful to everyone, but especially young people because of the culture that we live in, is immorality. Few problems cause such heartbreak and misery because something that is a widely accepted fact is that once you enter into a level of intimacy with a partner, it is almost impossible to leave. And you wonder why so many people feel trapped in a relationship. And it is because they have given in to intimacy. And people don't understand that it's a spiritual and chemical connection that you have with a person. And it is because of that, chemically, that you feel that you cannot leave because you feel that you are attached to this person. And that's why you deal with so many things. Because of that attachment that you have. But biblical principles can help us avoid those problems by addressing some of the leading causes. For example, inappropriate flirting or pornography, which is something that is so, so common nowadays. They tell you that it's normal. One time when I was in high school, one of my classmates told me that it was healthy. And I didn't know what to say at the time, but
until you get married.
Yeah, it hurts so many people. It hurts you. It desensitizes you to the beauty of intimacy, and it's so detrimental. It's so detrimental.
It becomes a very hard habit to break.
It's an addiction. Yeah, it's again chemically in your brain. It's an addiction,
and because of the amount of movies that we watch on TV.
Ah, yes.
Where the culture of the world is being, you know, repeated in front of our eyes. You know, you watch so many movies where it seems to be okay to cheat on your spouse.
Yes.
So you watch that so many times that eventually it doesn't surprise you, doesn't shock you. And who knows, you may end up doing that because you're not as horrified by the results and the actions.
Yeah, and something that I've heard from a lot of people that have lived lives where they have exchanged intimacy with many people is that they get to a point in their lives where they don't know who they are anymore and they feel completely lost. And that's because they've exchanged themselves so many times.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of you stays with that person and part of that person stays with you.
Yes.
And then you have so many parts of different people that you end up so confused yourself.
Yeah. And even if you've gone down that path, God still can restore your life.
Oh, always.
Give you a new purpose. But it would be much better to listen to his advice and not go down that path, because the consequences are there inevitably as well.
Yes, because God is good is the reason that the Bible has teachings to avoid those things, but also to give you hope.
That's right.
If that has been your case.
That's right. That was the case of a Samaritan woman that you were mentioning before.
Yes, it was. And she was able to be changed from her heart so much that she went back and she brought her entire village to the feet of Christ.
Amazing.
Yeah, she was able to do that.
Yes, powerful testimony.
Yeah. So Proverbs 20 verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his actions, whether his behavior is pure and right."
Mm-hmm.
Solomon, King Solomon once said that your reputation is more precious than anything in the world.
Wow.
It's more precious than precious stones, or it's the most fragile thing that you have as well, which is scary. You know, the most fragile and the most precious, it's just the combination.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you really need to take care of, because when you receive a certain reputation, it's almost impossible to change people's minds about that.
It is. Mm.
So the Bible suggests that we watch our actions. So then people don't get to know us by a certain way. They get to know us by the way that Jesus would want them to know us.
So true.
Yeah. And then also not putting ourselves in situations where we might fall into temptation, because 1 Peter verse 8 in chapter 5 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour."
You won't miss an opportunity.
No. So when you feel that you are being placed in a position where, oh, it's not that bad, you know, it crosses my boundary a little bit, crosses God's boundary a little bit, but it's not that bad, think that the devil is right there and he has placed that in front of you so that you take the next step.
Yes.
And be sure that if you take that step, there's going to be another one that's going to be easier to take after that.
Be sober, be vigilant.
Yes, and finally, for this point, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, is very specific. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you."
Yes.
So if you look at the actions that you are taking, and if they don't fit any of these characteristics, please do not go ahead with
it. Don't go ahead.
That is Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9.
Remember that.
Please remember that and visit it every time that you have a doubt.
So there's so many problems that we can avoid just by following God's principles in the Bible.
Massive ones.
But as we were saying before, many times we don't pay attention to that and we end up suffering the consequences of some of these decisions. We end up in trouble.
Massive.
So the Bible also gives us advice to cope or to resolve, to solve some of these problems that tend to persist in our lives. For example, so many people suffer from anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're always worried about the future.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be under that pressure all the time.
Yeah.
And the Bible contains so many words of comfort and advice on this topic specifically. Mm-hmm. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6:33-34, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you read the whole chapter, you'll find out that these things refer to all of those things that we worry about. Mm-hmm. Housing, clothing, food, you can add bills, you know, education, company as well, social company, friends, etc. Every need will be taken care of by God himself if we put God first.
Yeah, keep your eyes on him and be hopeful.
Seeking him first. So that means the first thing in the morning is have a time with God.
Yeah.
When you have to choose between being faithful to God or doing something against him, be faithful to God. Even if you know you think that you're going to lose something in this life, always be faithful to God and he will take care of the rest.
God always has better plans for you than you have for you.
That's for sure. And if you're still worried, 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him." All your care. Not some of it, but all your care upon him. And why? Because he cares for you.
Yeah, and Peter would know what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus.
For sure.
And you focus on the problems.
Yeah,
he started sinking.
He did.
So if you don't want to sink, don't take your eyes off Jesus.
Yes. And after many years, he was also persecuted, imprisoned, beaten. So he knows what he's talking about. He cast all his cares upon him because he knew that he cared for him.
Yeah.
And he cares for us as well. Again, the Bible says in Philippians 4:6-7, "Be anxious for nothing."
Mm-hmm.
Very specific.
Absolutely nothing.
"But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Okay?
Yeah.
With thanksgiving. That means that when I'm asking God for something, I should already feel thankful for what he's going to do.
Yes.
Even if I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Because he may answer differently than what I'm asking.
Definitely.
I may be asking for something that he knows is bad for me.
Yeah.
But interesting, I love these verses because they say that we should thank him.
Yeah.
Even before
it's because he answers. We know that whatever his answer will be is the best thing
for us. It is the best. Let your request be made known to God. And now here's the solution for our depression and anxiety, because it says, as a result of that, of being thankful to God and presenting our requests to him in prayer and supplication, it says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," because no one knows why someone can be at peace in the middle of a problem, "but the peace of God surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
That sounds like you can sleep at night.
Yes, you can get rid of depression,
rid
of anxiety, unless we're talking about chemical depression,
which is
a bit different.
Yeah.
But if it is depression that is being caused by a situation or something.
Yeah, like overthinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then in Psalm 94 verse 19, it says, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delight my soul."
Delight is such a lovely word.
Yes. And again, David, the one who wrote this, he knew what he was talking about. He was being persecuted as well. Another thing that the Bible can help us fix is procrastination. it's a bit of a tangle twist here. Procrastination, right? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, here's the Apostle Paul writing to Pastor Timothy, and he's saying to Timothy, in other words, you know, be the best that you can do because you're working for God. You have a God who's, you know, everything, he does everything in order. You be like him.
Yeah. I think that's something that's impacted me recently because I am a master procrastinator. And I read about this recently and it made me feel that I have a God who is looking at my work And I can't imagine him being proud of me staying up late at night or being stressed about an assignment that I had a month to do and I left it for the week before.
God knows. He can give us the strength, you know. And it's normally it's starting the work that is so difficult. Once you start it.
Yes.
It is.
And I think that I am, this has helped me do better this time around.
Yes. That's really good. And I love it how Solomon put it in Proverbs 6:6-11. He says, go to the ant, or look at the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man.
Oh, that hit hard. Well,
that's such a poetic way to put it, and so true.
Yeah. You know, if the Bible hits you hard, that's how you know that it's good.
Yes. Yeah. I think we've all procrastinated.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And the Bible is good at encouraging us not to do it. And one more thing, loneliness.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we've all felt lonely.
Yes. Even when we're surrounded by people.
Yes.
We can be lonely as well.
Definitely.
So what does the Bible say? For example, Proverbs again, 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity.
Mm.
So when you're lonely, if you take time to help others, you will not feel lonely.
No. Yeah, you feel like you have a purpose.
Yes. Instead of just, you know, being on your own saying, I am lonely. No, get out there, help those in need. There's always someone who's worse.
I've heard that volunteer work is a huge help when you feel lonely.
Yes, that's so true. Psalm 68:5-6 says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Mm. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Also, Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. What a beautiful verse. The Bible is full of that. If we make it a habit to read these verses daily, to go through the Psalms and Proverbs, like the giveaway that we are announcing, this is like, you know, the best vitamins that we can take against these issues.
Yeah.
What about coping with problems? Because there are problems that we cannot solve, necessarily.
Unfortunately, we live in a world of sin, and there are things that are going to go wrong, and you're going to have problems that you might not be able to fix. So the two big ones are chronic illness and, you know, things like loss of life when you lose someone.
Mm-hmm.
So chronic illness, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Matthew 19:26. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you.
Mm.
I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Very good.
That tells us that even if you're going through a really awful struggle, Jesus is with you, next to you.
We can take his hand and go through it.
Yes, yes, you can. And even when you lose a loved one, it says in Psalm 34:18 that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit.
Mm.
You cannot be more crushed in spirit than when you lose a loved one.
That's so true.
But the Lord is close. He's not just there in the world existing in the planet, in the universe. He is close.
Not that's up there exactly in heaven, where you but need close him. Next to you when you're suffering.
Yes. And then it says here in Revelation 21:4 that God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no new pain, for the former things have passed away.
Wow. Wow.
That's the most beautiful thing that we could ever imagine.
Yes, we have a hope of a brighter future.
Yes.
No more suffering, no more separation, no more death.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I remember that Paul also wanted to God to remove something from his life that was bothering him a lot.
Yes.
And he asked God like three times, please, can you remove this? And God said, no, my grace is sufficient to you.
Yes.
So he God said, you know, I'm not going to remove this from you because I know best, but I'm going to be with you.
Yes,
my
exactly.
grace is sufficient. My company is sufficient.
Yeah, because you come out so much stronger sometimes.
Yes, yes, indeed. Now, we mentioned that we saved the strongest argument for last. What is that? How do we know that the Bible is relevant for us today, right now? And I believe the answer is in the Bible itself, that the Bible is the only book that can change your life.
Yes.
Transforming you into a whole new person.
From the inside out.
That's right. Let's read a couple of verses only. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. You used to live, but now you've been changed.
Yes.
The Bible only can do that.
Yeah, and then 2 Corinthians verse 5, chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Amen.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
That's
your
amazing.
Past does not matter if you give your life to God.
You can start again. That's it. I think our time's up. Unfortunately, the Bible is relevant for today, and you owe it to yourself, dear listeners. Read your Bible. Study it every day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that letter of love that you've left us with. The Bible, your word, help us to take the time daily to read it, to study it, to listen to your words and to put them into practice. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you everyone for tuning in. This was Pastor Ricardo and Camila coming to you from Adelaide, South Australia. Please join us next Monday for another Drive Time BQ&A show as we look at the question, why is there pain and suffering? Until then, remember the Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. May God bless you all.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.